Today's episode of the Can Be Now podcast is brought to you by Gustafson Insurance, business, home, and auto insurance made simple. For a free quote, call 503-266-2216.
This tax exemption eludes me like a gazelle eludes an arthritic cat.
Why can't Canby people keep track of their dogs? Like, what is...
To do that, you can't be stupid with guns.
Yeah. Set the board is saying they want to make Canby schools great again.
It feels like we've been doing this interview for years.
Inside of me was screaming.
You run for school board, you win or you die.
There's no second place.
Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Franke.
And I'm Tyler Clausen.
Whoa. Stop the presses. Or should I say, backstop the presses. Sorry, Franke made me say that joke. The former offices of the Canby Herald newspaper, first listed for sale less than a month ago, have been purchased by Ken and Lori Arigotti. Arigotti. I'm going to go with Arigotti. Owners and proprietors of the Backstop Bar and Grill in downtown Canby. I'm sorry, I just can't get past it. Is it Arigotti or Arigotti? Or is it Arigotti? I'm going to go with Arigotti. The Backstop neighbors and shares a wall with a 2,780 square foot building on Grant Street, formerly the property of Pamplin Media Group, which also owns and operates the Herald. Pamplin has unloaded several of its newspaper office buildings this summer, including those of the Woodburn Independent, Blalla Pioneer, Forest Grove News Times, and Hillsborough Tribune. The property was listed for the very reasonable price of $375,000, but the seller's insistence on a tight closing window dampened some of the early interest. It wasn't nearly enough to scare off the Arigottis, though, who are now in a great position to widen the downtown footprint on their popular local restaurant and sports bar. They just became owners of the property that houses the Backstop last year, but Ken admits he's had his eye on the Herald building for a while for one very specific reason.
Yeah, so my dream was always to own a brewery. So our goal is to turn that into a brewery and another bar. Right now, where my beer cooler is now, I would love to have that the walkway between the two spaces into the other space. I'd love to open up a second bar that we, you know, have open, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and probably during football season on Sunday, where my bar is already full at night, you know.
The narrow time frame also presented a challenge for potential buyers in terms of securing financing. Ken says that they were able to navigate this by going through a private investor rather than a bank or other financial institution. Other terms of the deal were not disclosed. Because the deal came together so quickly, Ken and Lori said that they have yet to put firm plans together. They plan to approach the brewery launch slowly and thoughtfully, working hand in hand with the City of Canby, OLCC, and other agencies. They may even keep the Herald building largely as is, leasing it out as a temporary office space while they get their ducks in a row. They are nowhere near ready, as Ken himself admits.
The time span, though, I mean, it could take a while, though. I mean, it might be a year, might be 2 years. I don't know. But I had to pick up the building to get it, to make that dream come true. So we're nowhere near ready. I got a lot of homework to do before then. And, you know, got to talk with the city. I would go over a lot of things with the city and stuff like that.
Most likely the brewery would be small, producing just enough for on-premises sales. In Ken's words, just brewing for ourselves. Ken says Pamplin's realtor, Bill Reif, of Remax Equity Group Canby, was great to work with. The deal closed Monday, and the Herald staff plans to lease a smaller space and remain in Canby.
Cities, districts, neighborhoods, buildings, and businesses are all telling a story to those who visit and everyone who walks by, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whether they realize it or not. So what story is downtown Canby telling? Canby's Office of Economic Development is hosting a civic identity workshop this week, inviting Canby businesses to help them answer that very question. The event's facilitator, Michelle Reeves of Civilis Consulting, says she'll be asking questions like, why would someone want to visit your business? And what makes a visitor want to connect with what your district has to offer? Her workshop covers the do's and don'ts of brick-and-mortar marketing, offers case studies in building brands for districts, and as she told us during a recent interview at Gwen's Coffee House, even teaches business owners the same framework that improvisational actors use to create compelling stories.
So the process that I use to create a framework for a community in which to talk about the economic stuff actually is going to go back to sort of this daylighting subconscious in mood. So I use the improvisation framework that improvisers use to create compelling stories. And we use story to quantify a district in a community's own work.
So you like go up to downtown business owners and you're like, give me a movie.
So no, what I'm going to do
favorite
is,
actor
is,
from the 80s.
It's going to be
and
similar
the name of a job that you can do from home.
It's going to be even deeper than that. Okay. They're going to really learn the actual framework, and they're going to have to apply it to, to Cambie. So on Thursday, we're actually going to be teaching the story framework and how you use story-based branding to build kind of relationships, and then we're going to apply that to Cambie. So we're going to talk about how you apply story-based branding to places, and then I'm going to break everyone up into groups, and I'm going to ask them questions from the story framework.
Michelle Reeves is an economic strategist with significant private sector experience revitalizing districts. She's a founder and principal of Civilis Consultants. With more than 18 years of experience in downtown districts all over the country and a strong private sector background in commercial real estate. The workshop takes place this Thursday at the Antonia Ballroom above the Backstop Bar and Grill in downtown Cambie. It's just one aspect of the project she's been hired by the city to deliver, which is an overall framework for downtown development, as well as a focus on things local business owners can start doing right now to improve their sales at little to no cost. For our complete interview with Michelle, in which she shares her thoughts about some of the things downtown Cambie has that no other town in the state can measure up to, as well as some areas we can improve, stay tuned to a future episode of the Cambie Now podcast. The 15th annual Wild Hare Golf Tournament will be held tomorrow, August 9th, at Stone Creek Golf Club in Oregon City. The annual fundraiser has raised over $150,000 since its inception and is also known for being one of the best parties in town. Joining us on the line now to talk about this year's event is the owner of the Wild Hare Saloon in Cambie in Oregon City, Joan Monin. Welcome, Joan.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about where the idea or the desire for the tournament first came from and how it's kind of grown over time.
My husband and I have, you know, grew up in Cambie and have lived in the community, raised our kids here, and we love to give back to our community. So we started this annual golf tournament after we opened up our restaurant, and it's been growing every year. Every year we choose a different sports group to benefit from it. So we have worked with Cambie Youth Football for multiple years. We have worked with the Cambie Dance Team, Cambie Boosters, Cambie High School Football, and now that Coach Jim Joyce is here at Cambie High School, we thought it would be a great start for him to get to know the community by asking him to be a part of it this year for our 2019 16th annual Wild Hare Golf Tournament.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it seems like there's just a ton of excitement around the new coach, Jimmy Joyce, and just the football program this year, like it hasn't really been for some time. You get that feeling as well?
Oh, for sure. Yes. There's a lot of positive things happening at Cambie High School right now, so we're happy to support them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And what's the desire of supporting youth sports? Where does that come from for you and your husband?
Well, I served on the youth board for 4 years, and both our boys participated in Cambie Youth Football and Cambie Junior Baseball, the wrestling program as well. So my desire to give back is to, number one, make it affordable for families. So I would love it if, you know, all families could play for free, but I know that that's not realistic. But anything that I can do to help out to lower the cost of kids participating is always a win-win for our community. So that's really my passion is just to make things affordable for families. So,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, my kids are not in high school quite yet, but I'm sure that other parents of youth athletes would agree with this, or just anyone who has had interactions. When I, you know, talk to teens that are involved with sports and stuff, it's just clear, you know, how the structure, the competition, the discipline, you know, how much impact there is that the ability to participate in youth sports does have on these kids. It's not just sports are fun, you know what I mean? Like, it really does go beyond that. And it's great to see folks like you in the community supporting that and making it, opening it up to more kids in our town.
Yes. Thank you very much.
So tell us a little bit about what the tournament is like for folks that have maybe never been.
Well, it's a 4-man scramble, shotgun start. So everyone, you know, I have two teams per hole. There's 18 holes in golf, so I have 36 teams out there. And there's two teams per hole, so they just all start at the same time. They're going to start at noon on Friday. And it takes about 6 hours to go all the way around. And there's prizes that we give out for closest to the pin or men's long drive. And it's just a lot of fun. So they get done, and then we have a big banquet barbecue with the band. And the folks at golf, we have a raffle that we, you know, sell tickets for, and so hopefully we raise lots of money for the program. So all of the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds, will benefit Canby High School football this year.
Sounds like a really great day. Do you have a goal in mind for how much
you'd
like to
give back? I my goal is always hefty, of course.
Yeah, you don't set your sights small, Joan. I've noticed that.
Yeah, I know. My goal is to hit 15,000.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. You pretty confident in that? You're always confident. What kind of question is that?
I don't know. We'll see. I think it's easy to do when we have a full tournament. You know, in years past, we've had 30 teams, 28 teams, as well as 28 teams. I think last year we had 34 teams. Hmm. So 36 teams is awesome. And we have a lot of people in the community helping us. Through sponsorships, whole sponsorships, and things like that.
Cool. Well, at this point, I know you mentioned that the registration is full, which is awesome. Are there still ways that folks can come out and support the event? If you're listening to this and they're like, oh, shoot, I didn't get in in time or whatever, is it still, can folks come and cheer people on, or can they come to the after party, or how does that work?
Well, the after party I have scheduled out for, you know, the food is ordered. My kitchen caters it. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, at this point, it's kind of too late because we have things scheduled out. But, they could come out and watch. Sure, you betcha.
Okay.
I would just say if you're interested in participating next year, now's the time to contact me and I'll get you on a list. But the last few years have been really, really awesome turnout, and everybody that finishes says that they want to come back the following year. It's that much fun. So
cool.
It's pretty awesome.
That's awesome. So get your names in now if you're interested.
Yeah, for sure. Get your names to me. Yeah, sure. I hear that Coach Joyce is pretty competitive, so he's already calling dibs on the championship. Right.
Already throwing the gauntlet out, huh?
Already out there talking some smack.
That's pretty bold. Yeah, it's going to be his reputation on the line already. That's right.
I love it.
That's cool. Yeah, he's awesome. We've had him on the show before and gotten to talk to him. I'm sure many other folks in town, maybe some listening to this, have as well, and can testify that he's just a great guy, great personality, and really excited to have him on our football team, coaching our guys, and just being that influence.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of the kids that are already practicing under him, and he just says that all the kids are excited about the motivation and the energy and the stuff that they're learning. They said they're learning so much under him, so him and his staff are working real hard, and I'm excited for them.
Another guy that doesn't seem like he really sets small goals or does things halfway, so.
Right, yes, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much, Joan, for talking to us. We hope you have a fantastic, fun day tomorrow and great weather, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
The man known as the Froggy Robber pleaded guilty in federal court this week to stealing more than $87,000 from six banks across the Oregon and Southwest Washington region, including ones in Wilsonville, Beaverton, and Hillsboro. Diego Sanchez, 24 years old, of Clark County, Washington, was known as the Froggy Robber because of his short stature at 5'2" and his practice of jumping the counter to threaten bank employees with a knife. He terrorized financial institutions between November 2017 and April 2018, hitting nearly one a month. His string of robberies included $9,710 stolen from Albania Community Bank in Portland on November 27th, $26,000 from Wells Fargo in Wilsonville on December 27th, $11,500, you know, that would suck. Coming back from Christmas break and then getting robbed, that would suck. $11,580.99 from the Wells Fargo in Beaverton, $6,720 from a U.S. bank in Scappoose, $15,400 from a Wells Fargo in Vancouver, Washington, and finally $33,357 from a Wells Fargo in Hillsboro. Each bank robbery charge carries a maximum sentence of 25 years in prison and a $250,000 fine and 3 years supervised release. Sanchez Lopez will be sentenced on November 5th before U.S. District Court Judge Michael W. Mossman, there's no R in there. As a non-citizen, Sanchez Lopez's guilty plea will subject him to having his lawful permanent resident status revoked, which would result in his removal from the U.S. by immigration authorities, according to a press release from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Oregon. Before his arrest, an October 2017 robbery at Columbia Bank in Canby had also been considered a part of the Froggy Robber spree, but Sanchez Lopez was not charged with this crime, nor was it among the thefts that he pleaded guilty to on Monday. While the Canby Bank robber did use a knife and jump the counter and was about the same height, the Canby suspect was described as a white male, and his age was estimated to be in the 30s or 40s. Sanchez Lopez was caught immediately following the Hillsboro robbery last April. He was chased down by two customers, Josh Merritt and Jonathan Hodges, who followed him and were able to get the attention of a passing police officer. Police beat for July 9th through the 15th. July 9th at 12:29 a.m. following a report of a harassment, an officer contacted the alleged harasser and directed them to stop, probably by phone, because that would be ironic. 5:33 p.m. reports of a person stealing a bicycle from in front of a restaurant located where he had previously been trespassed. The bike's owner witnessed the theft and chased after him. A bystander noticed that what was happening and called the police. The intoxicated suspect was arrested for theft and criminal trespassing. And just a quick word of the wise, bikes were made to go faster than most people. So I think if you could run as fast as a bike could go, I don't think you would need the bike in the first place. I'm just going to move on because he is a victim and I shouldn't make fun of him. 9:49 p.m. an uninsured vehicle was stopped. The driver was cited and the vehicle was towed. That's like the worst possible outcome. 10:23 p.m. Canby officers were called to assist at a scene of an assault in a neighboring city. That's interesting. July 10th at 8:35 a.m., a backpack containing drug paraphernalia was turned into police. At 3:39 p.m., reports of a hit-and-run damage to a parked vehicle. 3:46 p.m., a traffic stop was conducted on a driver who failed to signal when making a turn in an uninsured vehicle. The officer seized drugs in the vehicle, and the driver was arrested for possession of... it's already starting. Methamphetamine, and the vehicle was impounded. I mean, you don't use your turn signal, and then you go to jail for meth. Ah, it's a bad day. July 10th was a bad day for that guy. 8:11 p.m., a driver was arrested for driving while suspended. 10:57 p.m., an intoxicated person believed to be at risk to himself was transported to a detoxification center. July 9th, 9:14 p.m., police were called to a convenience store in response to an intoxicated and belligerent person threatening others. The suspect was arrested for assault and disorderly conduct. Good. He should be. July 12th at 11:51 a.m., officers responded to a rear-end traffic crash. The distracted driver was cited for following too closely. 5:19 p.m., a traffic stop was conducted on an uninsured vehicle. The driver was cited, and the vehicle was towed. Remember, people, get your car some insurance so that you don't end up with a towed car. 7:05 p.m., a driver was arrested for driving while suspended. 8:49 p.m., witnesses reported trying to stop an intoxicated person from driving. However, they had been unsuccessful. Officers located the suspect vehicle and driver as he arrived at his residence and arrested him for DUI. Obviously, alcohol. July 13th at 2:44 a.m., an uninsured vehicle was stopped. The underage driver and her passenger were cited for being minors in possession of alcohol and marijuana, and the vehicle was towed. 3:15 p.m., report of criminal mischief after family argument resulted in one person breaking out the window of a sibling's vehicle. Maybe they took his stuff and he wanted it back. I know that sometimes when my brother I've never broken his window, so never mind. On July 14th at 8:31 p.m., a suspended driver was stopped and cited for driving while suspended. And finally, on July 15th, we have 9:04 p.m., a man was arrested for an outstanding Cambie municipal court warrant. And at 10:45, a speeding vehicle with an expired registration was stopped. The underage driver was cited for driving without a license, possession of marijuana, and violating a speed limit. A family member did retrieve the driver and the vehicle. So, all ends well, right? Except for the kid in possession of marijuana. That doesn't end well.
Hey, Tyler, did you know that the world has changed in the past 20 years?
No way!
Yep, it's true. The way people shop for goods and services has completely changed since this thing called the internet started catching on.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And yet some realtors still offer the same old services in the same old ways and for the same old percentages. Victory Point Property Group in Cambie believes it's time the real estate business caught up with the times. They'll meet with you for free, explain every step of the process, give you a clear game plan, and even let you choose the listing commission.
Really? They let you choose their commission?
Really? Victory Point Property Group understands this is one of the biggest and most exciting decisions of your life, and they'll do everything they can to make sure you handle it like a rock star.
Wow, that sounds great. I'm going to check them out by calling 503-263-4700 or by visiting online at victorypointhomes.com.
You do that. Victory Point Property Group, real estate reimagined. Flip to unlimited internet with a fantastic summer deal from DirectLink. Now through August 9th, take advantage of 250 megabit speeds for just $49.95 per month for the first 6 months. With download speeds that fast, your home network can stream movies and shows without that annoying buffering cycle, play online games without lag, and use as many connected devices at once as you'd like. Plus, every internet speed from DirectLink includes unlimited data and zero overage fees, so you never have to worry about using too much. Finally, DirectLink believes in transparency. That's why they've broken down their pricing to outline what you'll pay after the promotional offering ends, and it's still lower than other providers. Give them a call today at 503-266-8111 to flip over to unlimited internet. August Heat by author unknown. In August, when the days are hot, I like to find a shady spot and hardly move a single bit and sit and sit and sit and sit. Welcome back, listeners. My guest on the Cambie Conversation today, finally, we've been trying to do this for months, Chris, is Mayor of Aurora, Chris Taylor-Saleen, and also an agent here at Health Markets. We're a meeting here in Cambie next to the Cambie Liquor Store and Cambie Redenmeyer. But you're here to talk to us, not about a Cambie thing necessarily, but Aurora Colony Days, which is happening this weekend, is a wonderful event, and you guys are celebrating 30 years this year.
30 years of this event. It may have been going a little bit longer than that, but from what we could trace back, right, it's about 30 years.
So we wanted, count.
So we wanted to make sure that we emphasized that and celebrated that we've had this continuous celebration of the Aurora Colony.
Yeah, absolutely. So Aurora has a fascinating history that this celebrates. I believe it was actually founded even earlier than Cambie. Aurora is older than 30 years, but yes, this event celebrating it is just kind of about celebrating that small town feel and that culture and history that is important to Aurora.
Mm-hmm. And that goes back to 1856 when Dr. William Kyle came out from the Midwest.
Yeah.
And so we've got a great museum in Aurora, the Old Colony Museum, and that's a great place to start to learn about the history if someone doesn't know about Aurora,
yeah,
and its beginnings, and it's a great little town to come and visit.
Yeah, it was created as kind of like a commune, or
more
like
of a communal Christian communal society. It was very specific in its origin. It's not they say Christian communal. Some people say it wasn't a religious community,
right.
So you have people talk about that, but basically Dr. Kyle wanted people to come out and just from Bethel, Missouri, and just to create this community where people work together, support each other, and just be self-sufficient.
I was going to say that sort of like that religious like commune or like whatever, you can find different examples in history, and it often has like sort of a negative connotation, but like Dr. Kyle's, and obviously Aurora is still here, like I've even seen in a little bit of research that I've done about Aurora, like historically this is kind of seen as one of the most successful, like, created communes, communities, whatever, of that type that has ever happened in our country.
We're very proud of that heritage, and so we do like that's part of the big celebration is celebrating that. So we've got a lot of great activities scheduled.
Like what?
So, for instance, well, we start our day off with the 1K and a 5K run in the morning, so we have activities that span throughout the day. So that's the day that gets kicked off with that event. And then there's a pancake breakfast at the Legion Hall. We also will be having market in the park, so we have vendors that will come down to the park. They're there from 8:30 till 2, so lots of vendors, all different kinds of vendors where people can come down and shop. We will also have a sidewalk sale in the downtown core antique shop area, which is also a lot of fun. And even the museum gets into it with, they've got free admission that day, and they've got activities scheduled throughout the day. And then we also have a car show and the parade. And then we have the big celebration that night where we have Patrick Lamb.
He's good.
He's bringing one of his bands that evening. So we're looking forward to that to cap off the entire day. Another item that I didn't mention is the beer garden. Mm-hmm. The museum is having that on the grounds of the museum. So there's always, it's family friendly. So there's food and beer, live music there as well.
Sure.
So that's pretty much the event of the day.
Can we talk about the parade?
And the parade, and
that's new this year?
No, the parade is not new this year. The trolley. We've got a trolley car this year that's going to be new. Because we've got vendors down at the park and more activities happening at the south end of town, we want it to make it easier for folks to get back and forth.
And who wants to walk?
And who wants to walk?
Heat? Oh my goodness.
So we've got a great trolley route.
Yeah.
We've got the trolley girl from McMinnville. She's coming out to bring the trolley. So we're really excited about that.
And that does really like bring you back to that era, that simpler time that you guys are going for, right?
Yes.
Will you have folks maybe in period costume or kind of?
I don't think so. Maybe down at the museum. Sometimes at the museum they will get into that a little bit more.
Get ups on.
Yeah. So, but it's more just about getting people around town and so that they can access all the activities and make it easy for them to get around. So we're excited, and we've got, and because of the 30th anniversary, I've put together a program, and we're very excited about that. So
it's a beautiful commemorative
program for the 30th anniversary, and it's actually going to be getting mailed out to over 20,000 homes, so people can see what's going on and have access, as well as seeing our sponsors for the year too. So we're pretty excited about this event this year.
Can you talk a little bit about the, I assume it's not just you putting this on.
No.
Kind of the team and all the volunteers that make this happen.
So there are volunteers. It is volunteer driven, and we had some transition this year, so we were a little light on the volunteers. Mm. So that's the reason I had ended up picking up a little bit more responsibility than preferred to, because I do want it to be a community event where people are really getting involved in their community. It's an opportunity for them to give back and help participate. So so we're kind of building that volunteer base up again this year. And but there's a lot of coordination. There's a lot of moving parts to it, from all the different activities and making sure everyone has the support that they need in all the various areas, from the parade to the run, to the vendors in the park. So we would just want to make sure that they're all taken care of. But we had a number of volunteers, and there's more that haven't been acknowledged. We did acknowledge some in the program, but there's many more volunteers than what we were able to acknowledge this year. But again, hopefully next year we'll have more people involved.
And it's a lot of work, I guess. What do you think kind of motivates people to put in these hours to make an event like this successful?
I think it's just the desire to be a part of their community. And maybe it's, you know, for those that have done it multiple years, it's just something that they do. It's like I say, it's a give back to their community. And it is a way of us to connect with each other, just outside of our day jobs, whatever we're doing. Whether we're on council or on another board in town, it's just a way for us to just be human beings and work together.
Set some of that aside.
Set it all aside, and let's come together and let's show everyone how great our community is.
Very cool.
And one other thing I wanted to mention is we've got some Kyle descendants that are coming out this year for the 30th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And so there'll be...
those like great, great, great grands
at
this point?
Yeah, they're... They're down in there. They're down in the
great,
line.
Great, but that's awesome.
So there'll be about 10 of them out here, and they will be in the parade. So you'll want to watch for them in the parade. And then we always have Volunteer of the Year, and then a King and Queen of the Year. So those are kind of specialty people that we like to call out for doing extra service in our community.
Sure. And like recreating that journey, you know, with a lot quicker nowadays with the technology, but of 160 years ago. From out here to Aurora. So
we're very excited about that. Cool. And I'm looking forward to meeting them as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I hope to maybe meet them too. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Be great.
Can you talk a little bit, because a lot of this is a Canby Now podcast, and a lot of the folks who listen to this are more in Canby. Just a little bit about kind of what Aurora is like, the identity of Aurora. You know, I assume that Aurora is a lot like Canby, and its identity being really important and kind of trying to preserve that. So I feel like you would probably have a pretty good idea of what it's like to live in Aurora and what matters to Aurora as a community. Like, you're not just the, you know, older but smaller stepson of Canby, or you know, or whatever.
It's well, and I think, you know, for me honestly, because I lived away and I moved away from the community for many years and have been back for quite a few years now. I've been back about 8 years. And I think, to me, it's really about that sense of community, that you know everybody. There's something nice about that. There's something to know that you've got a core to an area in your city, just like Canby has the old downtown core. While Canby's grown, you still got that core downtown area of businesses and the heart. And I think that's what Aurora is too. We've only got two major streets, Main and Liberty, with some side streets. And while we've been known as a historic, antique, visitor, tourist town, we all love our town, whether we live and work in our town, or we have some of us that commute into Portland or commute out to work. There's something very securing about coming home and grounding and coming back to your town. And just being able to walk your town. Yeah. I can walk to the store. Mm. I can walk to the park.
Or take the trolley.
Or take the trolley for a work holiday.
One day a week.
Yeah, 1 day a year. And I'm hoping that'll be a recurring event.
Yeah.
But I think it's a sense of community. Mm. And, you know, when you have a small community like that, everybody does know everybody, good, bad, indifferent. Mm-hmm. But there's something very safe about that I think we all love, and that's what draws us to live there.
It's kind of interesting with you because you are obviously mayor of Aurora, live in Aurora, work here in Canby, so you have a little bit of a foot in both communities.
Oh, yeah,
so,
I can speak to that.
Yeah, can you, I imagine you do see, there's obviously size differences, but kind of some distinctions in the culture and identities of the two communities.
You know, it's funny because I grew up in Aurora. I went to North Marion. Aurora and Canby were always very much meshed together.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't separate them.
Right.
I shop in Canby.
Right.
I do everything in Canby, but I love Canby.
Yeah.
I love the same thing about Canby that I love about Aurora. It's that small town feel, and you know everybody. So as a business owner, while I'm in Canby,
and that goes back. I mean, you look at the history, like on the article, going back decades and decades. Like these communities were meshed in that way.
You know? They were very much together, and you know they had their separate schools and their separate businesses, etc. But there's something very adjoining to these two communities. Mm-hmm. And so I love that. Like I said, I know as many people in Canby, I think, as I know in Aurora.
Yeah.
But I love that sense of somebody knows me, I'm safe.
Yeah.
There's something comforting about that.
Yeah.
And you don't find that when you go and live in the bigger cities.
Yeah.
You don't have that small sense of community. So I really enjoy that part. You know, about our two communities. So,
yeah. I think Aurora might need a podcast at some point.
I think so.
Need some more news coverage over there. I feel like you get missed a little bit. We were kind of talking about that earlier, just that the newspapers don't always quite know what to do with Aurora or really who covers it or whatever, but maybe a podcast.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah,
the Aurora Now podcast.
The periodic podcast from downtown Aurora.
Downtown Aurora, cool. So this weekend, August 9th and 10th, it's Aurora Colony Days, a chance to celebrate that tradition and things that you're talking about. Are there tickets that folks need to get?
No tickets.
Okay.
There's no cost. Just come on down. There's plenty to do. Like I said, you've got the sidewalk sale, depending on what time of day you want to get down there. There's something literally going on starting at 7:30 until 10 o'clock.
Right.
And
things for all ages, sounds like.
All
at the theater
ages.
Garden, the music, the games, activities.
We've got the car show. We're going to have the fire truck. I'm hoping to have some more safety vehicles there, something for the younger kids. And it's just a fun time to get out and just enjoy the day. So we hope you'll come down. We're out on Facebook. I'm promoting it out on Facebook as well. So if you've got family that's coming in for a visit, we hope you'll come to Aurora.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much, Chris.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being on.
True story. When we first started the Canby Now podcast, we were looking to buy some stickers. Just something to help us get our name out there. We didn't have a lot of money, so we tried to do everything as cheaply as possible online. We wound up with 1,000 of these teeny tiny cheap looking stickers. Not exactly the impressive swag we were hoping for, but you know, you get what you pay for.
Yes, you do. If we had been smart, we would have gone to see Carrie at Promotional Strategies. She's a real life human and a creative genius who would deliver practical, strategic ways to promote your business on any budget. If you're looking for high quality swag that you can be proud to see your logo on, Promotional Strategies is where you want to go. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Canby or online at ps266swag.com.
So I'm here with Derek Hill, president of Advantage Mortgage in Canby. I was wondering what's going on in the mortgage industry right now.
The mortgage industry is on fire right now. The big thing that's really exciting for us is that we are now an independent mortgage broker, which means that we can offer substantially lower rates and lower fees for our customers. For example, we just got a loan last week and the realtor said, hey, I think you should go talk to Derek at Advantage Mortgage. And sure enough, we got the borrower 3/4 better rate, and we saved him $14,000 in fees.
Cool. So where can people find you?
So office number is 503-266-5800, or they can find us on the web at findtheadvantage.com. But most people just give us a holler or they stop in.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Derek.
Yeah, bet. Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 1770599. Derek Hills, NMLS number 50183. Equal housing opportunity.
Okay. This is bad.
So I'm here at the Kabuki Strength Lab in, where are we? Clackamas, Oregon,
yeah.
With Javi Eric, the strongest 16-year-old in the world, superhero, Canby High School student. How are you, Javi?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. I have never felt more out of place at an interview. Like, we're here at the gym. I'm surrounded by all these, like, super strong people. Well, first of all, like, even getting here, like, I'm driving by all these industrial, like huge trucks and, like, bulldozers coming in. I'm like, where? There's no way there's a gym here.
There's a gym here. Yeah. Can't miss the big semi-truck, though, sticking out with the Kabuki Strength Lab one.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to start by asking that because obviously I don't know if you can tell, I'm not necessarily the gym rat that you might have assumed that I am.
No.
But when people think of, like, power lifters, maybe you are not necessarily what they picture. I'm kind of curious what your take is on the powerlifting world, the world that you've experienced through the sport. Just what it's like for you, what that experience has been like.
It's funny that you kind of bring that up. A lot of people, when they look at me, they're like, you do not look like a power lifter.
Right.
Like, this is not what I assume.
Right,
you know?
Right,
you
right.
always think big, beefy, you know.
Right, right. They're like, oh no, knitting's down the hall. Like,
yeah, yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. Sorry, CrossFit's over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, I mean, I do CrossFit, so it's like, I kind of combine that CrossFit, bodybuilding, and powerlifting. Mm. So it's, powerlifting's like a big, definitely big goal, and that's what I want to focus on.
Yeah.
But as far as body type goes, I've always had the goal of more of a CrossFit look. I don't know if you've ever seen, you know, the women in CrossFit games or...
I've seen some of that.
They're
pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely a body composition goal of mine that I have, so it's like, I don't know. It definitely doesn't go well.
Well, it was the powerlifting that drew you because of your dad, right? That's how you got into this sport, was kind of idolizing him. He's a powerlifter or bodybuilder type.
Yeah, so he was more bodybuilder. So for my, 14th birthday, I'm sure you probably heard this before. It was like,
you told me about
it. Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. So it's like,
previous interview.
Yeah, like gym membership, got bored. He was just bodybuilder. He doesn't compete at all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he doesn't do any of the powerlifting. I mean, he does the workouts with me.
Okay.
But he's not interested.
Just a gym guy.
Just a gym guy.
But you wanted to spend more time with him, and you just asked for your 14th birthday for a gym membership.
Exactly.
And like, careful what you wish for. Like.
Right, yeah. No, I'm kidding. I don't know why it was powerlifting, though. I'm not really sure how come it was, you know, that sport.
Because of your superpower, I think.
My strength pill that I take in the morning. No,
well,
kidding.
We... right.
I wish.
well, we buried the lead, because this summer, I guess when you come back to school, like, a lot of times that's the essay, that, or at least that's the stereotypical, like, how I spent my summer vacation. You had a specially unique summer experience here at the beginning of the summer, where you went to Sweden, competed in the International Powerlifting Championships, which is essentially like the Olympics of that sport.
Yeah.
Won the medals. Tell us about it.
Oh, man. So the competition itself wasn't my best, unfortunately, you know, going into it.
Yeah, only got a gold medal and a silver and a bronze. Like,
I
really wasn't feeling up to it that day. Sorry about that, guys.
Like, it's funny. I'm so thankful that I did win something, but it's just, for me, it was such a letdown. Like, I don't even... It's just after the competition, after I was competing, I was just so upset.
Was there a lot of the, like, jet lag and stuff?
It probably was. I mean, I went into it, unfortunately, tweaked my back, 3 weeks before. I'm like, are you kidding me? Why does that happen? Like,
how long? It was in Sweden. I don't know if I mentioned that. What was the town?
Helsingborg.
Helsingborg, Sweden.
Yeah.
How long is that flight, and how long did you have between when you arrived to when you're actually competing?
Oh, gosh. So the flight is about 7 or 8 hours, I want to say.
That's not too bad.
It's
right?
not too bad. Yeah. But felt very long.
Yeah,
still.
I bet. Yeah.
Yeah, especially going in with the stress of a competition.
Yeah, looming in front of you.
But, oh, gosh.
So you arrive probably like 3 a.m. or like some random time.
Exactly. Yeah. I think we showed up at the hotel and it was like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, are you the Erics? And we were like, how did you know? Like, because you're the last one to check in.
Right, right.
And so, you know, but we arrived 2 days roughly before.
Okay, so you had a little bit of time.
Yeah, a little bit of time to adjust.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us about the experience. There's like, how many athletes? I mean, was it stressful? Yeah, like, I don't know if you can tell, I've never actually participated in the International Powerlifting Championships.
No, people have.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, the experience, like, being back there, you just got, you have, like, everybody has their own uniforms, mm-hmm. right? So I had mine that said Team USA, national team stuff. So you see all these different colors of uniforms, and you see Ukraine and Hungary and,
yeah.
you know, Puerto Rico or whatever, I don't know. But it was so cool, because there's lifters, like, from all over the world, I mean, obviously. But I couldn't, it was rare to find somebody who spoke English.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So. Yeah, it was very rare. It was like, as soon as you heard somebody, like a family or something, say something in English, you're like, my kind? What? You
know? I haven't talked
yeah.
to you.
I know, yeah, let me, yeah. So
you like to latch onto them.
Exactly, yeah, just follow them around, start random conversations.
They're like leave. I know,
yeah. Right? But so it's like even worse, in the warm-up room, you got athletes everywhere around mm. there. And I didn't understand, like, you know, I was about to go lift, and I'm sitting behind the curtain, you know, trying to pump myself up, because yeah. I'm all alone back there. I yeah. didn't have, my coach was busy with all these other athletes. Mm-hmm. You know, my coach from here, he wasn't able to go. My
oh, dad okay.
wasn't able to be back there. So,
so you just had an on-site coach
yeah,
for your team?
Just, yeah, yeah, national team coach.
Yeah. yeah.
So it was, like, somebody I didn't even know, and it's, yeah. it was tough back there, especially, yeah. you know, I got
sure.
50 different languages going on around me. I didn't know, I didn't understand anybody. I didn't really know what right. was going on. So it was definitely, it was a rough
right.
first international competition.
Yeah.
Hopefully
yeah.
not the last.
Yeah.
But a rough first one, so.
Did you, what were some of the positives, or maybe something that you had learned or feel like you could grow from in future? Because I assume you're not retiring. You were just mm-hmm. working out a few minutes ago.
Yeah, so. Right? Yeah. Yeah, so I definitely learned a lot from that competition. I would say, you know, oh gosh, probably have somebody back there. With you that you know.
Yeah.
Or just, no, I don't know. It's hard to say. It was yeah. a lot going on.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
still I just,
a lot to process.
Yeah, a lot to process. I wasn't sure what I was going into. I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, nobody here kind of really has done that kind of whole competition feel internationally.
Yeah.
So it was a rough first one.
Yeah. Are there things about powerlifting, your experience, your workouts that you feel carry over into other aspects of your life or your schooling? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're involved with stuff in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom always reminds us you're a 4.0 student. So, I mean, you're not just a lifter or just a gym rat. I mean,
yeah.
Do you find that things sort of bleed through or kind of carry over into different aspects of life or give you strength in other aspects of life from your discipline and things that you do here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely say that it does, especially for, you know, schooling and stuff that, like, as far as that goes, I would, you know, the gym not only is, like, my stress relief
yeah.
kind of thing, I don't, like, it definitely teaches that discipline that you're, you know, saying, mentioning about, but just, you know, getting homework done, and as soon as I get homework done, I can go to the gym. It's,
yeah.
like, kind of a reward a little bit,
yeah.
but, I mean, yeah, it's for, I would just say, big discipline factor
yeah.
between, you know, schooling, and that carries over to powerlifting. Powerlifting carries over to schooling. It's just,
yeah.
keeps me on track.
What's the most pounds you've ever lifted off the ground?
Oh gosh. So like deadlift?
I don't know. I don't know what that means. Is that is that this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
no,
no. It's so ground to hips.
Oh, just okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that the generally like the most weight that somebody can do? Is
yeah,
it deadlift?
That's probably
okay.
your strongest
yeah.
one.
So
let's see. 396.
Oh my.
It was so
gosh.
Close to 400.
It's so close.
So close.
Yeah.
I told my coach that and I was like,
yeah.
why didn't you just bump me up to 405?
Right. Just so I could say that I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's probably my heaviest lift.
Okay. So that would be like two Frankies. Like,
just
yeah, lifting me off the ground.
And,
yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. I've actually wanted to try that.
No, thank you. We had to clone me first to figure out how to do
oh,
that.
Oh, good point, good point.
But that is one thing that I remember from our previous chat that, you know, you were really excited about going to Sweden and representing your country. You really wanted to win a gold medal, which
I ended up doing,
which is really cool. just to have that represent your country in that
yeah.
way. But I remember you mentioning it was just kind of you love to challenge yourself and,
mm-hmm.
and push yourself to the limit and try and get past that limit. I mean, that's true, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. Always have a goal, you know, you're trying to reach.
Yeah.
You know, a weight. As soon as I hit a certain weight, you know, I just got 225 on the bench press. Well, why didn't I go to 230?
Right.
Now I want 245. Now I want 255. So it's like
yeah.
things just keep climbing, especially for me. Like, right. I don't ever get satisfied that I hit something.
Right.
I always am, you know, hungry for the next, the next weight that I gotta, you know, the next record I gotta be.
Yeah, before you know it, you'll be bench pressing like 2,000, you know,
I hope,
like,
yeah, you just
keep
goal.
Going and going.
I bet, yeah.
So what is next for you?
In terms of competitions or
whatever
weights, let's see. Right now, I am training for nationals.
Mm-hmm. What
That'll
is that?
Be in October 16th. It's
okay.
Just a town outside of Chicago.
Going from the worlds to the nationals, that's a bit of a step down, right?
That's how you get to worlds.
Everyone there is only going to speak English. I mean, it's educational.
It's such a letdown there. No, yeah. It's definitely a qualifier. Like, they look at athletes who competed in that kind of pool. Like,
yeah.
You know, the first place, you know, everybody did well at nationals, and then select you from there, send you, you know, your email. Hey, you want to join Team USA?
Right.
You know, and then you go to Worlds.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's kind of funny. For me, nationals seems bigger than Worlds was.
Yeah.
Worlds, you weren't really lifting for anybody. Like, you walked outside of that curtain, and then audience there.
Okay.
You know, it's just like, hey, Mom, and then she's like...
I didn't necessarily, from seeing the video, I didn't necessarily realize that was the case. I'm surprised that there was no audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look out there, and it's just, you know, blank seats and stuff. Because, like, you know, like, the competition's like a 2-week-long thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's a lot of people going in and out, and they just... I don't know, probably teens aren't really as important.
Right.
It's the big, beefy powerlifter guys that draw the crowds.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. Anything to add?
You're a pretty cool guy.
Okay, well, thank you. I mean, I always appreciate that. Well, thank you so much for talking with me. This was really fun. Your accomplishments are really impressive, and you are a lot stronger of a person than I am. So.
We can get you there.
I don't think so.
I can write a program.
It's too late for me.
If you want. It's never too late.
It is for me.
No.
So, okay, well, we'll see. Well,
the great outdoors. Sometimes you just gotta get away to a place where life is simpler. The air is clean and the nearest ringing phone is about a million miles away. One of the best places that we found is My Cowboy Cabin near Joseph, Oregon, in the heart of the Eagle Cap Wilderness.
Eagle Cap is the largest unspoiled wilderness area in Oregon, with breathtaking views of granite mountains and crystal clear lakes, and more than 500 miles of trails to explore. It's one of the premier hiking, fishing, and hunting destinations in the Pacific Northwest. My Cowboy Cabin is open from Memorial Day weekend through Labor Day weekend, and can be reserved on a weekly or monthly basis, depending on availability. With a cabin that sleeps up to 8 people,
and also a teepee that sleeps 8 or more.
That's right. It's perfect for family vacations, retreats, reunions, and more. Find out more at mycowboycabin.com.
And that's our show. Special thanks to our guest today, Mayor Chris Taylor Sally. Hey, I got it right. And Javi Eric. And to all of our sponsors who really make it possible to do what we do. We encourage you to check them out and help support the local small businesses who support us. Hey, if you like what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episodes.
In our next episode, we're looking ahead to the best week in Canby. The Clackamas County Fair and Canby Rodeo are finally here, and we'll be talking with three guys who helped make it all possible.
If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or suggestions of how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CanbyNow. Or to learn how you can start supporting our show and gain access to exclusive content through Patreon, visit CanbyNowPod.com/plus.